You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, what up, Jaguar fans? It's your man, Tony Wiggins, here with another episode of Locked On Jaguars. I got a good show for you guys today, and I'm going to jump right into it. Yeah, I put a call out last night. You know, some people were sending me mock drafts. So I said, you know what? Send me your mock drafts. It was hot and heavy. I had another show planned, but Jaguar fans are so hot and heavy with these mock drafts. Man, they're using these draft machines. And I wanted to include you guys because, like I said yesterday, this show is nothing without the people that listen to it and interact with me on a daily basis. So I said, send them to me, and I'll mention your name on the show. So I think I'll spend the next 30 minutes mentioning everybody that that sent me a mock draft, because that's how long it's going to take me, because everyone sent a mock draft. No, I'm being facetious. I'll try to get everybody's name, but I don't have to go through your mock drafts one by one, because guess what? They all pretty much look just alike and look the same. So we're going to hit that today. Something else we're going to go through: the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll give you the good. You all have been on it, all right? I'll give you the bad. The bad is that it's not good that they all look just alike, because none of us ever get this right. The most I've ever gotten right in an entire 32-pick first round is 8 picks. So the likelihood that these things are going to fall this way is just not too good. Now, here's the ugly. The ugly is the double whammy that I know for a fact that since everyone is picking the same people, that the day after the draft is over, most of these boards aren't going to look anything like what the Jacksonville Jaguars actually choose. It's just not. It never does. There are going to be a bunch of names and a bunch of people that you're going to go, what? Nobody had them taking these people. Because that's the art of the draft. And if they're doing it the right way, we won't be able to telegraph who they're going to pick. Right? We won't. We won't know. So ironically, if we get it right, we'll feel good about the fact that we did our homework. But we'll feel bad about ComSec, that they weren't able to disguise with what they were doing in free agency and what their needs were, that they weren't able to disguise it good enough with what they wanted to do. We should have Trevor Lawrence is a given. We should probably be able to hit on one more guy and feel good about ourselves. We shouldn't be able to hit on more than that. All right, so we'll talk about that. Something else we'll talk about in segment three is every now and then I get a hunch about a guy. Every now and then I just get a hunch about a player. And I'm not talking about just evaluating someone saying that I think he's going to be good. I'm talking about like a hunch that even if a guy's not on the draft board for the team that I cover or whatever, that there's just something about a dude. And even if a team doesn't need him, and even if fans aren't talking about him, and even if he's not wanted. That guy last year was Tristan Wirfs. And I know it's a first-round pick, and guys are like, well, that's easy scouting. I just had a feeling he was going to be dominant, and I had a feeling he was going to show up and be dominant early, and he was going to be the type of dude that you realize, once the season's over, you realize you're going to talk about him for the next dozen years as one of the greats. I got a feeling about three guys like that, and I'll tell you who they are. And only one of them is someone, well, two of them. One of them is showing up a lot on Jaguars draft boards. The other one, when he does show up, fans are, they don't want him too much, especially where he's being picked. And the other guy's not even being thought of here. It's because the Jaguars have pretty much not, they don't have a serious need at that spot. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through these mocks. So let me give a shout out to Ryan first, MC Wale, Patrick Martin. I'm going to try to get through as many of these as I can. If I don't get them all, Joaquin Garina, if I don't get them all in the first segment, Mr. Borden Bruce, Andrew McMahon, Adrian. Every time I see Adrian by itself, I always think of Rocky. KT. Against Michael Clinton, Cameron, folks that sent me these mocks, Keith Savage, Urban Law, Dilla. Dilla came and checked in for me and dropped some heat. I think this says YeriBot 3000, hashtag DTWD. We all know what that stands for, J_Rand85, right? He sent me two, in fact. I don't know if they were the same. Gavin DeBorn. And I think there were a few more. But those are the ones that are sitting right at the top of my phone right now. So shout out to everyone that sent me mock drafts. Those are some names. If I can dig some more up, I'll definitely mention them. And I appreciate you all interacting with me on this content. I'm sure there are a whole bunch more. I just got to find them in my phone. I got to dig back through them. But the one thing I will tell you is that you all are in the same wheelhouse as it, you know, pertains to. And I don't know if you guys are talking to each other. I don't know if you're looking at draft boards. I don't know if you're looking at the same mocks and getting the same information. But I can guarantee you this. I can guarantee you this. It happens every single year. When that draft starts, these draft boards that the teams have look way different from the prognosticators and the guys that do this on TV and do it on the internet. Maybe those first 8-9 picks don't look different. I'll give you some examples. Remember when Daniel Jones went that high, and there were people saying he's going to go higher than you think. Folks thought Daniel Jones was going somewhere between 17 and 25, and he pops up, and he's in like the top five or something like that, or top six. Remember that? And people thought it was a shock. Remember it was a shock that Josh Allen fell to 7? Yeah. Stuff like that happens every single year, man. And then you start seeing like guys like Colton Miller get drafted before Derwin James, and you're like, what? Yep. These teams have their own brains, their own ideas as to the guys that they like. And all it takes is for three people to think differently. All it takes is for three GMs to have their own ideas about what they think is good and what they don't. And it throws the whole thing into a tizzy. And guys aren't putting out information. They're not telling people how they feel about players. They're just not. They're just not doing it. This is why the prognosticators and the guys that do it for a living and probably do a good job at it, this is why they switch every single week. Why do you think they do that? Do they watch more tape or do they start to hear stuff? So I always tell you guys there's a difference between what they would do or what they think someone's going to do. There's always a difference between what I would do or what I think someone's going to do. So what I'm telling you is what I think the Jaguars are going to do, and I'm trying to use a very, very limited knowledge of what their tendencies are because I don't know them. I don't know what their tendencies are. I have no idea. We don't have a history of what Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke do together in the draft because they haven't done it before, right? So we're going to discuss this, man. We're going to discuss this, and I'm going to give you guys a consensus of what all of these mock drafts. I'm going to put it in a nutshell because they're all looking like I can't go through all each and every one of them. I got like 50 of them. I can't go through all of them. So I'm going to put it in a nutshell for you, and I'm going to tell you what you guys are saying, and then I'm going to tell you what might happen. I'm going to tell you what might happen that might totally throw this off based on the value of the positions and where the players are going to be located in the draft. I'll do that in just a second here on the Tuesday edition of Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about betonline.ag, if you follow me on social media, you know that I knew that not only was Gonzaga not going to win that game, that Baylor was going to beat the brakes off of them. If you follow betonline.ag, they told you also on their Twitter account that the wrong team was favored. But you got to pay attention, because if you pay attention, you'll make some money, because betonline.ag is the premier and it's the only in my opinion, it is the only place where you can get paid because it's the best betting site in the world. That's right. So now college basketball is over, football is over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball is also back. It's real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, and BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. If you head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. They're always right, and they're always on time, man. Go to betonline.ag and sign up today. All right, man. So, Shaman T-Wig here on the Tuesday. I hope you heard the Locked On Today show today with my man Peter Bukowski, because he absolutely breaks it down. Gives you 20 minutes right in the gut every single morning of all the sports news from around the world. And I know he talked about the game last night and had local experts on explaining to you how Baylor ran all the way through Gonzaga in college basketball. But you can get that every single day on the Odyssey app. And wherever you get your podcast, Peter Bukowski does a great job with the Locked On Today. Make sure you subscribe to that great podcast. We're talking about this draft, man. We're talking about the Jaguars. And you guys have done a great job with the information you've been given. You've been very interactive. Guys are doing things that make sense. And for the most part, drafting players where they're supposed to be played, filling needs, but also taking – the best players, doing a real good job of balancing that out. And I don't think fans get enough credit for actually understanding that. People like to not talk with you but talk at you about this stuff. But you guys have really done a great job of understanding what's there and what's on the board in a lot of these mock drafts. I do believe, however, that it'll look different, if for no other reason that there's going to be one or two teams that's going to turn this thing upside down. The Raiders are usually one of them. They usually do things. They have their own sort of brain and the way they're thinking of doing things. And, you know, you can argue whether or not it works. It hasn't so far, but at least they were playing late in the year for something to try to, you know, do something. But anyway, once you get past those obvious first 6, 7, 8, 9 picks, that's when it starts to get interesting. And we know the Jaguars are going to take Trevor Lawrence. At 25, it appears that most people believe the Jaguars are going to take a wide receiver or edge rusher. That's where everyone is pretty much. It's wide receiver, edge rusher, or I've seen Travis Etienne and Pat Freiermuth there. I don't know if they're going to take the tight end from Penn State there, one, because he's been hurt. The one thing that they do have going for him in that thought is that his tight end coach is Jacksonville's tight ends coach. So, you know, if he gives him a ringing endorsement, and the fact that Urban Meyer also knows him because he recruited him to Ohio State as a prospect, and it's a huge need, that would be one reason why they would do that. The other thing is the thing that works against it is the injury. The injury works against it. And then there's going to be some stuff that just absolutely falls to the Jaguars. So go back to the things that you heard that they were chasing in free agency that they didn't get, like more edge. It doesn't mean that they're going to address that in the draft, though, and I'll tell you why. Because the edge that they were chasing in free agency was veteran presence edge. The edge that's in the draft is obviously not veteran presence. So there's a difference. And it's not an apples-to-apples thing. Like, just because you were looking for edge in one area where you'll address it, and it's not the same thing. The edge that they were chasing apparently in free agency was experience, familiarity edge to boost the room. So it's just like when you sign a wide receiver like Marvin Jones. That doesn't preclude you from taking a young, fast wide receiver in the draft. Marvin Jones gives you something that young receiver can't. And that young receiver is going to give you something that Marvin can't. That means future, and it means fast, right? You know, like different kind of speed. Marvin's pretty fast, but it'll be future and fast. It'll be difference. It'll be something for you to look ahead and build on, right? Because these guys, even if they're ready to play, what you see from them this year won't be their best. What, you know, the Jaguars are going to hope that whoever they draft, that what you see from them, their best is 2 or 3 years from now. even if they're ready to play and ready to contribute now to the team, what you are going to see from these guys, the best will not be the first year. It'll be their best will be 2 or 3 years from now. So I'm noticing that in your mock drafts, the guys that are being put there are Ojulari, the edge from Georgia, Jalen Phillips, the edge from Miami. I've seen ATN there a lot. I've seen Trevon Merrick. I believe that's how you pronounce his name, if I'm saying it correctly. I've seen him in that spot. Those are primarily the guys that most of you guys have put in. Now, whoever didn't take Merrick took Javon Holland. Most of the time you see that, and sometimes you see Richie Grant. Some of the drafts are unrealistic because they use different draft boards. And some of you guys got all of those guys I just mentioned and we're still drafting guys that's going to be in the first round and the third round. So it ain't going to happen. Good luck. Keep dreaming. That's not good. Good job. And you did what you were supposed to do based on what the player, how the players were aligned. But some of y'all got ATN, Moore from Purdue, Kadarius Toney, Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan, Christian Bob. You got all of them. You got everybody on the Jaguars wish list all the way through the fourth round. And that's not going to work. It's definitely not going to work. But good try. It's not you. You didn't tell the computer to leave those guys on there, so you just did whatever you did. I saw a lot of people also, a lot of guys that avoided taking offensive line. I think in a draft, and this is the thing that I want you guys to remember. I said earlier this season during the draft season when it first started, you have to take what's there. This draft is very, very heavy on depth when it comes to the offensive line. The Jaguars only took one last year, and that was in the fourth round with Ben Bartsch. You can't go 2 years without addressing that position just for the infrastructure of your team. And you definitely can't do it in a year where the offensive line depth at tackle and at guard is unreal. Because if you don't get these players, your opposition will. You have to invest in that infrastructure. I always say it, you don't necessarily have to take two offensive linemen per draft because most teams have 7 picks, but you need to take 3 over 2 years. So this is the year the Jaguars probably have to take 2. You need to always make sure that you invest in the guys up front, especially now that you have a franchise quarterback. You can't always go shopping in free agency for offensive linemen. I can't ignore the fact that a lot of you guys left offensive linemen off, in that second, third, fourth round area. You really have to address that position. And you probably have to tap it twice. So a lot of guys that did pick offensive linemen, I gave you your props and credit for it. Some people double down at tight end, and I don't mind that either. You get a pass catcher, and then you get a blocker. Some people got Tommy Trimble, and then they went and got a pass catching tight end. I have no problem with that either. I was a little bit confused by a couple of folks that doubled down and got 2 running backs. I can get 1, but I don't know if they're going to grab 2, probably because I probably thought they would have if they didn't sign Carlos Hyde. By them signing Carlos Hyde, I don't think they're going to get 2 running backs. So, but for the most part, great job. But we have to talk about offensive line. They got to talk about edge, even though if they don't get an edge early, it's going to be slim pickings. It's going to be seriously, seriously slim pickings. I don't even see him addressing the cornerback position at all because of the number of guys that they have on the contract. I just don't see him doing it. I think if they do grab a safety, I'm starting to now believe that they won't even touch safety early. I think if they do touch safety, I'm starting to look at the difference between the guys at the end of the first and second round and the guys that may be projected in the third and fourth round. And I don't think there's a huge drop off. I do think there's a drop off because I love Richie Grant, but I don't think there's a huge drop off between that group and the next group. So I think that they'll look at the value of that and probably address safety, even though the numbers say and suggest on the depth chart that they don't necessarily need to touch that much either. So, you know, if I would suggest anything to you guys, I would tell you just to pay a little bit more attention to that part of it. And then, of course, the other part that we can't pay too much attention to is what other people are going to do and what they're going to leave, what they're going to leave for the Jaguars to be able to touch. You just never know. All right, man. So in this next segment, I'm going to talk about guys that may be shockingly good and some guys the Jaguars may or may not have interest in. It's just dudes that every year there's always just one or two dudes that just grab me. And even if they're not at sexy positions, they're just guys that I think will be really, really good pros because I think they just have that it factor and they're just dogs. And we'll talk about those. I'm going to name three of them and we'll discuss their level of interest or the level of interest that the Jaguars may have on them. We'll do that here on the Tuesday edition of Locked On Jaguars in just a second. After I tell you about rockauto.com, where you can get the best prices on the best car parts and accessories for any make or model of vehicle that you've ever seen. It's a family-owned business that's been in business for over two decades. And man, I'm going to tell you, the catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend the day always at a chain store answering questions you don't know or spend up to twice as much on the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now and start saving up to 30, 40, 50% on all of your auto parts and accessories. Okay, man, Locked On Jaguars here on a Tuesday, breaking down the draft and running through that stuff. And the NFL draft is just weeks away, and it's time to start following our Locked On NFL draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app. That's Audacy. Wherever you get your podcasts. Guys that I think are going to be special. And I had to kind of remove myself from this thinking at being so Jaguar centric when I talk about this. I'm gonna go backwards I'm gonna go from number three, number two, and then I'm gonna save the best for last. I'm not gonna do a drum roll. But there are three guys that just stick in my mind that I think that they have something in them. They have that dog in them. If you watched the basketball game last night between Baylor and Gonzaga. And the reason why I thought Baylor would win is because of their demeanor. And I think they had that dog in them. I think there's some guys on Gonzaga's team that had that dog in them. But I think Baylor's entire roster was built that way. And I thought of the eight or nine guys that Gonzaga played all the time, there was about six of them that had it. And the other three would probably get exploited because Baylor just was yoked that way. And it was just – they didn't do it in pieces. It was just a part of their DNA. And I think that there are guys in the NFL draft that are just like that. They are guys that just have that oomph, that special thing that just separates players at that level from other people. So without further ado, and you can wonder whether or not the Jaguars have interest in them, and I'll go over whether the Jaguars, the possibility of them ending up here, because this is your podcast. It's a Jaguars-centric podcast. The first one, he's a legacy player from the NFL. Dad played in the league. Asante Samuel Jr. Now, I know most of you guys know that I'm a Florida State follower, so you guys may think that I'm biased. But I don't like Marvin Wilson as a prospect, so this isn't about me being a Florida State supporter. Some of y'all have Marvin Wilson in your mocks, and that, I just don't feel it. Joshua Kane, though, same thing. I don't feel it. Asante Samuel Jr. is a different animal. According to PFF, he allowed the lowest completion percentage in college football. He's always around the ball. He prepares like a maniac. He does not prepare like a kid who had a silver spoon in his mouth, that's for sure. And he's 5'10". He's a pure nickel who can probably play outside. He's a dog. I'm not saying he's Jair Alexander, but he's close. He competes. He makes your team better. Is there something about him? I think he's going to be in the league a long, long time. Chances are him being in Jacksonville. If they look and see that they don't have a pure nickel, they'll take him. They like guys like that. Urban coach Jackrabbit. Jackrabbit has that same attitude, and this is the type of attitude that Asante Samuel Jr. has. It's the exact same one. It's just cut from a different cloth. He has a competitive spirit about himself where he just absolutely wants to be the best. And I think he improves your groupings when he's in. He's just a dude, man. When you look around, you want guys like that. You just want guys like that on your team. Almost a honey badgerish type attitude. So I just think he's going to be around for a long time. And if the Jaguars look up and the value's right and they go, we just don't have a pure nickel or slot corner, and it's a little bit of a luxury for them in the second round, or if he's, especially if he's there at the top of the third, which I don't think he will be, that I think that's a potential spot that you look. My next one is a guy that has been linked to him a lot. I've linked him to him. Richie Grant. If you watch the tape, I don't see – somebody told me one – somebody quoted and said he has weaknesses. I haven't seen him. And Lewis Riddick, who you guys – a lot of you guys wanted to be the GM. Lewis Riddick, who played the exact position that Richie Grant plays, he didn't see him either. And he absolutely loves every single thing about Richie Grant. And then if you go and watch the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, Richie Grant actually, who plays safety, free and – strong, actually lined up and guarded wide receivers one-on-one out wide and stuck to him like absolute glue. A competitor, a dog, does every single thing, checks every single box, will come up and hit, will tackle in space, competes, doesn't give up on plays. There's some highlights of him on YouTube where he came away from the play, chased guys down from the back, and caused fumbles. Just always Johnny on the spot. So Richie Grant is my other guy. Likelihood that he ends up in Jacksonville, there's a chance. There's an absolute chance, because when you guys talk about Baltimore Ravens and Jacksonville wanting to play that way and them having three safeties on the field. In fact, I talked to one of my buddies who used to scout in the NFL and now he's a college coach. He said, and this person is very familiar with the Baltimore Ravens because he had a relative that recently played for the Ravens. He says Richie Grant plays exactly the way Baltimore wants to play. So there's a chance that a guy like that could end up in Jacksonville. And 32 teams went to UCF's pro day. That hasn't happened in a lot of these pro days. Number one is Mr. Nasty. And I call him Mr. Nasty for a reason. And it's not a non-sexy position, and it's at a position that I don't think I evaluate very well, but there's something about this dude's attitude that made me take a look. So I had to make some calls, and I got a show coming up where somebody's going to help me break down offensive line tape. And I asked them about him, and they started laughing. They said, man. So my man, Tevin Jenkins, if football demeanor had a face, it would be him. If you wanted a football player or an offensive lineman to walk, talk, and act a certain way, it's him. I remember I asked Mo Williams, who's the chaplain right now for the Jaguars, longtime Jaguar football player. I said, Mo, what do you look for in an offensive lineman? He said, body language after the play. And I said, really? I was thinking more like technique. He said, yeah, that's all good. He says, when he finishes the play, how does he look at the guy he just got through blocking? How quickly does he walk back to the huddle? Does he leave the huddle? And does he look right back at the guy and says, I'm about to do it again? So Tevin Jenkins does all of that. I don't know where he plays. I don't know if he's a left tackle, right tackle, or a guard. But what I'm telling you is this. If I had to bet my money that 10 years from now, the guy with the most all-pro selections out of all of these offensive linemen, if the attitude and the nastiness has anything to do with it, it's the kid from Oklahoma State. Chances are he ends up with the Jaguars. From what I'm hearing, it's good, and I don't think he's going to be there at 25 because I think people like him more. But he has been mocked to the Jaguars a few times at 25 and even at 33. So there you go. It's not sexy, and they don't always have to be sexy in order for him to be good. But just remember, if a guy makes your team better, don't worry about if he's the sexy pick or not. You got to just get guys that are good. And I think if he is what I think he is, even if it's not a sexy pick, y'all will fall in love with him because he'll be knocking people on their ass. And that's what you want, man. You want to be knocked off your feet. And hopefully here on the Locked On Jaguars podcast every single day, that's what we do. I'm Tony Wiggins. I'm glad you are able to follow along. You can subscribe wherever you get podcasts and even on the Odyssey app. Subscribe to the Locked On Jaguars podcast. I'll be here every single day for you, dropping it off. And I appreciate all of those who participated in sending me the mock drafts. So that I didn't mention your name, I deeply apologize. I'll definitely get to it, and I'll mention it at some point. Well, for Tony Wiggins, for Locked On Jaguars, until tomorrow's episode, take care.